Ben Affleck, boobies, cowboy costumes, and a cameo by Ashton Kutcher. We saw Reindeer Game, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to our very special Christmas Day edition of How Did This Get Made? Happy holidays. I am Paul Scheer, joined as always by Jason Mantzoukas.
What's happening?
And June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
Good. How are you, Paul?
Very good. Today we have a very special guest. You know him from the wildly successful, the fantastically funny Who Charted, Howard Kramer. Please welcome Howard to the show. Welcome.
Hey, guys. How
Woo!
Are you?
This is our, technically, this is our Christmas episode. So we are very excited to bring you, man, what a treat. Reindeer Games, the last John Frankenheimer movie.
No. By the way, not a treat. Not a treat.
This is a perfect Christmas movie for anyone.
Did this come out around the holidays?
Oh, I'm sure of it. Yeah. John Frankenheimer, just to give you an idea of what this guy directed, directed some great movies in the past. Like
French Connection, right?
Yeah. Iceman Cometh, Grand Prix, Manchurian Candidate, 7 Days in May, and it all ended with this Ben Affleck movie with Charlize Theron, Gary Sinise, and
Ashton Kutcher.
And Ashton Kutcher. Oh, I forgot about Ashton Kutcher.
Terrible.
Oh, and Gary Sinise's hair.
And Donald Logue.
Oh, guys, by the way, it came out February 25th. It missed the Christmas mark.
Oh, no.
So that means that this movie was so bad. Like, normally they would dump a movie like this at Christmas time and be like, oh, just suck it up. We'll get Christmas money. No, they released it 2 months after. This is almost in March. You release a Christmas movie.
That's appalling. This movie.
It was done clearly by December.
This movie sucked. This movie was awful. I hated watching this. This movie is everything that's bad about the movies that we watched. To me, I was like freaking out. I was so angry at how bad the movie was.
I had some issues with it, but I'm a fan of twists and turns, and I love some sexy acting. the first thing that comes to my mind about this movie is the sex scene that is pretty like Charlize Theron and Ben Affleck have this like sex scene that is a little like graphic in the sense of like what you're seeing. Like, you don't normally see the part of the man that connects from the waist to the upper butt cheek. It's like a weird area.
Yeah. Minotaur looking.
Wait a minute.
Minotaur looking.
Yes, because there was a shot of him. You know what I'm talking about. You're describing it where you couldn't see his legs, but you did see sort of right above ass, and it just looked like it didn't look like a full human.
Looked
it
was minotaur.
Very,
he looked like
it
a, he looked
very
like the minotaur.
It was very weird.
That sex scene, I fully was like, oh, they're gonna have sex now. All right, whoa. Like, and listen, I'm not going to complain because it was sexy. But then I had a real problem with, and maybe I'm just not having sex correctly. But but does anybody in the room have so much sex in a hotel room or wherever that you're on the bed, you're off the bed, you're fucking on the floor, and then you fall asleep on the floor?
Why not just get up and
like that's what they do.
The
they fuck
right
so
there.
Much that they fall asleep on the floor next to the bed. I was like, there is a bed right there. The only thing in this room is a bed.
Happened in Twilight too. They fuck so hard they fall asleep
on
the
floor.
They are exhausted. They are too exhausted.
There's also in this movie a lot of open mouthed kissing that's very disgusting.
Yeah.
Like it's like
super wet kisses.
Super wet, wide kisses that are not appealing.
Yeah.
It's like just two wide mouths going at each other.
I mean, we'll get into a spoiler section, but there is a Gary Sinise, and I won't say who the woman is he's kissing, kiss that I was like, what the fuck is this? It's just nobody kisses like that.
It's like kids who've seen their parents kiss, trying to kiss, like, open mouth, right? That's how we do it.
Is that what happened to you?
I tried to French kiss my mom when I saw The Love Boat one time.
No.
Yeah.
No.
She got really freaked out.
What?
I thought that was it.
I thought that's how you
kill, like, how adults do it.
Like I saw it on TV and I was like, oh, I've been. Like, my mom gave me a kiss, like, go to bed one time, and I was like, I was like, my mom's like, whoa, what are you doing? She caught me way before I got close, but.
That's huge.
Man, this is a pretty startling revelation.
Yeah, guys, let's get into it.
I didn't know you had this whole French kissing your mom thing going on.
Yeah, man, I tried to kiss my mom like Gary Sinise.
I gave her the full-blown Sinise.
Also, I mean, I guess this is a dumb thing to, like, pick on, but. You know, Ben Affleck and Charlize Theron, both very attractive people.
Gorgeous.
I know movies are about attractive people and stuff, but I couldn't get a read on, like, are these supposed to be ugly people? Or are they supposed to be, like, really
That's
attractive
people? That's a
really
good point, because a big part of the movie is that she's set up, we'll find out what her real intentions are later, but she's set up as a woman who's writing letters to prisoners, and she writes...
And she's Charlize Theron,
and we learn a little bit more about her, that she's in this small town, who's had a tough go of it. If she
does
just
know
got
she's
to
pretty.
A coastal city,
she does
though,
know she's pretty.
She does know she's pretty.
She's supermodel beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, she is so stunning.
But that's what the thing is. He says to her, why is such a good-looking girl like you doing this shit? Is this what you do? Remember when they've woken up from their slumber on the floor?
Yeah.
He says, is this what you do? Why are you so beautiful? And she goes, well, when you're as beautiful as I am, the guys that want you only
want
to fuck you. They want to get inside. They don't want to know about what's inside you.
They just
want to
get
inside.
Fucking control alt save. That is a good line.
Yep.
Save it.
And Frankenheimer is in.
I'm not the guy was a line that was in the movie about 30 times.
Oh, yeah. So, basically, this whole movie.
I'm not the guy.
Basically, this whole movie is Ben Affleck is in prison. He just steals cars. No big whoop. This is prison mate is a guy who stabbed somebody who was harassing his girlfriend. And there is a fight that breaks out in jail. His prison partner is killed, and he's
the jail
released.
Jail sequence is 10
crazy.
To 15 minutes long,
yes.
And is like an SNL sketch about jail. It is so stupid.
It's actually really upsetting too. Like I don't know. I watched it and I felt sick. I felt really
what,
upset.
Dude, you mean
I did,
what, like, is really upsetting about it?
Because the cockroaches were in the food.
Oh, Isaac Hayes. Oh,
yeah. Isaac. Disgusting.
Do you know that when he says there are monsters
Isaac
in the jail?
Isaac Hayes. What was Isaac Hayes doing in this movie?
I want to play the South part that Harold just talked about. This is my favorite post scene in the movie. Monsters in the gelatin. So they're eating some like jelly.
What's wrong with you? Monsters.
It's just a roach.
Yeah, it's protein. It's good for you.
Monsters. In the gelatin!
All right, calm down.
There are monsters in the gelatin! Monsters! In the gelatin!
Look at this shit.
This starts.
Jesus.
So this starts a full-on prison riot because apparently the cooks, they haven't just had one monster in the gelatin, one roach.
Yeah.
There, I guess everyone has tons of roaches in their holiday Jell-O.
Yeah.
And this starts a huge prison riot.
Do you think that it was an unusual day? Like, this is just a strange thing that happened?
How many roaches must there have been?
Ooh, I don't know.
Hundreds.
Did they do it to start the riot?
Was it that elaborate of a plan?
No, because at the end, when we hear the...
Are you
doubting how elaborate this plan could get? Because it had so many moving parts. It's insane.
And Ben Affleck at the end of the movie and says, like, how did you think this would work? Because at any point, something could have gone wrong. Because when you realize at the end of the movie what the plan has been all along, it's impossible to have been executed.
Impossible.
Yeah.
It just requires so much acting, so much to go right.
Well, let's, you know what? I feel like maybe
lay it out.
It will probably be better and serve everybody better to understand how it plays out. So the monsters in gelatin happen. Ben Affleck's roommate, his prison roommate, gets killed, and now like Ben is all bummed. And he's like, "Well, I'm getting released from jail tomorrow. My prison partner was gonna get released too. He was gonna go meet up with Charlize Theron, maybe I'll take over for him. And he decides that he's going to take over the life of his killed prison partner just to get laid by this hot girl.
Yeah, because...
Well, I do think he had some feelings for her just reading the letters and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't think it was entirely about sex.
He definitely did have some sort of attachment.
You don't think it was entirely about sex?
No, I don't.
I don't either. And that's what they were counting on, was that it was more than just sex.
But he speaks his subtext so much in the movie that I just, whatever he says he was thinking, I just go with that.
Well, that's the best part!
He's sitting on the bus thinking about whether or not he should try to go after Charlize Theron, and he's like, don't do it, Nick. Don't do it. And he just...
How about when they're in the department store and she brings over some clothes to him and then she walks away and he looks at himself in the mirror in a crowded department store and he goes... Just get through the holidays, Nick. Rudy, just get through the holidays. Yeah. You don't wreck her holidays.
Yeah, we'll tell her after.
We'll tell her after. like a fucking Superman villain. Right. Like talking to himself in a mirror in a crowded store.
By the way, this is the only movie that I can recall that that employs both talking to himself in a mirror or a window and also having voiceover narration, too.
Yes.
Because there is also a voiceover narrator. That's me.
Yep.
Like, it's a lot of the camera going around. So he's doing dual narration by one character.
Was anybody else really uncomfortable at how askew the close-ups were?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Every close-up they would cut to was just like askew
a little off.
Well, we were talking about this because...
Claustrophobia.
Yeah.
We were saying before we started taping that, like, this movie, yeah, take into effect when this movie, like, in consideration when this movie was done. So it was like 2000, and Howard's saying that it's like Quentin Tarantino, people were trying to emulate Tarantino, right?
Tarantino had come along, and now these older guys are trying to put a little Tarantino in their game.
Yeah, and it felt like it was really trying, like the violence was a little bit more bloody. It was like trying to be this cool thing.
I agree.
Yeah. So Ben Affleck takes over the life of his prison partner, and he, you know, forges this false relationship with Charlize Theron. They're having a great time. They're having sex. They're falling asleep on the floor. They come home, and Ben is attacked by these burly thug dudes. I do want to talk about this. So he walks in the door, and he gets immediately, like, hit in the gut with, like a baseball bat. Goes down, and at which point, another guy pops out of the closet.
Yeah.
Why was that guy hiding in the closet?
There was a guy in the bathroom, and there was a guy in the closet.
How many people needed, like, there was, like, they, again, when you understand the plan of this, not necessarily to have three guys to attack Ben.
And he recovers so easily from brutal beatings. He is brutally beaten over and over in this movie and never has a mark on him, barely. He has a bloody nose in the diner. That's it.
But I will say that he does limp around from getting those darts thrown into him. He gets two darts. He has a tortured dart scene, which is also like a very Quentin Tarantino, like, let's torture him. We'll do it darts, man. I'll do it darts. And he gets like two darts in him and he's like, oh, like limping around. Darts.
Yeah.
Pool darts. Maybe they've gotten
like a quarter of an inch in your body, but that's...
Maybe.
Yeah. Right.
He's like, ugh. But so basically, we find out that Charlize has a bad brother. The bad brother wants him to rob a bank.
No, casino.
Casino, because he worked in a casino, but he didn't actually work in a casino.
Ugh.
The guy this that he was not... prison mates worked in a casino. And then he finds out
he keeps trying to be like, when he realizes the guys want him because they think he's Nick, then they're going to say, Nick, help us rob the casino. He starts to say, I'm not Nick. It's not me. I'm impersonating him. And the guy's like, so you're impersonating a guy to fuck my sister? You think that's going to get you out of this? And then he has to be like...
But what he said was, he goes, you're acting like you did all this so you could get down her chimney.
Yeah. Oh, There's a lot of Christmassy wording. Yeah, that's right.
And he does the reindeer games line, too, when he says, I read your letters. Don't play no
convict
reindeer games with me.
You know what? I've never heard the expression reindeer games used.
Just in the song. That's it.
I kept on asking Rudolph. Paul. I mean, I must have asked like every 5 minutes, like, is reindeer games a thing? Like, are reindeer games...
And what would Paul say?
He said yes.
I said, it's from the song, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I knew that, but I never heard this term or expression. No, like,
yeah,
don't,
most people
don't
mess
around
it at any time.
Well, that's what I'm trying.
Oh, I don't think it has any other meaning other than the song.
Just a bunch of reindeers playing around. Like, there's no other context for it.
You guys have.
Oh, wait, there aren't specific reindeer games.
You guys have egg on your face because I looked today and on Urban Dictionary it came up. It goes, reindeer games refers to any fun activities which are enjoyed only by members of a clique. Which is often purposefully made obvious to anyone existing outside of said clique in order to make them feel inadequate and left out.
Well, so no that clique. Would actually okay. that would line up though. Okay, so
but Ben Affleck has no clique.
He has no clique. He's a man by himself.
Yeah.
By the way, so Ben
Affleck. So he's Rudolph in this scenario?
Well, his name is Rudy.
What? Yeah.
Boom! Nailed it! Look
what
at the
happening?
Symbolism!
No way!
The joke's on us.
The joke is on us.
Wow. What
this
just happened?
Movie just got interesting.
That's the reveal. That's
this
the
is an amazing movie.
Holy shit, my mind just imploded. Are you kidding?
Rudolph. And do you know what his friend's name was?
Nick.
Nick.
Nick. Man, I wonder if we can see what was Gary Sinise's name. Was even come
Gabriel.
In. Gabriel. All right, so the angel Gabriel
what was
doesn't
Charlize
come.
Charlize Theron's name. Ashley, but her real name was
Blitzen.
Holy shit!
I wonder if they were there.
That was the how we just got there was unbelievable. I'm sure the audience was like 10 minutes ago like, "Hey assholes."
During the courtship of Ben and Charlize, when they're out, you know, she's buying him stuff because Ben kind of looks like a villain from a Back to the Future 1. Like, that's how he's dressed. But she goes, I got a 50% off discount.
She was so into that discount. Yeah. She was crazy about it. She started laughing maniacally. Yeah. She's like, 50% off.
But that's a huge discount.
Way, that's a pretty good discount. Yeah, you're good. Giving away the store at 50%
but
off.
She was like drunk on, you know, with power that she was going to go get $100 off that coat.
Do you think by the she way, got that coat 50% off with her discount, that silver coat?
Yeah.
Because that was a crazy scene where she was, right after they got together and they were in the diner, she said, first he didn't say hello to her and he didn't when he got out of the prison. And then he came back. And so then you cut to the diner and he's like, yeah, I'm sorry. I just got freaked out. I thought maybe you wouldn't like the way I looked. And she's like, yeah, I mean, I thought the same. I thought maybe you'd like see my coat. I'm just like.
She's Charlize Theron and he just got out of prison
see
for 5 years.
He's
like, I didn't think you'd think I was.
By the way, that coat was pretty ugly. And that's the only way they could ugly her up and make her look pedestrian is put her in ugly winter parkas.
It wasn't even that ugly. I mean, it was a silver coat. It wasn't like.
They try to, like, they give her, like, a couple things. Like, she wears a baseball cap and sunglasses. Like, that's how they ugly her
down.
She
had, like, a winter hat on.
Yeah.
And then in the diner, the winter hat is off and her hair is perfectly styled, though. Can we talk about the second diner scene where he eats pecan pie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was.
I found that disgusting.
Yeah.
I found the choice he made in eating that pecan pie to eat it as if he was like a starving person who'd never eaten food, but like an animal consuming pie, or I was like, is this a sexual thing? Like, what's going on with why he's eating this pie this way?
He started chewing up the scenery, literally.
Yeah.
Like, he was just going after that pie. But it was such a weird shift in tone because up until then, it's all kind of sinister.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he starts saying, you know what? I want some hot chocolate. Want some goddamn hot chocolate, some fucking pecan pie.
Well, here's the funny thing about that too is like by the time that moment happens, he has been out of jail, he has had sex, he has eaten with Charlize, like they have like bought a Christmas tree together.
It's
like
gross,
they bought a lot
though.
Of cookies together.
Like I mean, I feel they got cookies.
Oh, that was a great line.
Lots of cookies.
When the guy goes, this guy's got a shitload of cookies. Just shitload of cookies.
Yeah. Why did they buy so many Christmas?
Who fucking
cookies?
Knows? This movie is dumb. This movie is gross. There's just a lot of grossness to this movie.
Why did he?
Right?
But why was he eating it like it was his last meal when he clearly could have had that pecan pie and chocolate, hot chocolate? He got plenty of time to get that.
Right.
Anyway, but.
Well, that was supposed to be his first meal out of prison.
But he did, but his first meal out of prison was Charlize, right?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Can we just play that? I just want it just to, for you guys to hear the. This is the only other clip we have. Here we go.
Get him up here. No, no, no! Fuck that! Nick doesn't do anything until Nick gets something for Nick. Got it? I want some hot chocolate. You want to hear about some job of mine? I want to see some goddamn hot chocolate. And some pecan fucking pie.
Is he doing Bernie Mac? Is he doing a Bernie Mac
impression?
I feel like that was a I mean, you're right. That's where the movie goes. At that point, the movie is like, all right, now we're on this whole different track.
It's like a fun romp now.
Because basically what we have not told you is Gary Sinise is Charlize's brother, and he's a robber or a wannabe robber, and they are using Ben's knowledge, but not really his knowledge, because his former, the person he's impersonating's knowledge on how to rob a casino. So he's being pulled into a casino heist. He is just a car guy. He just steals cars. So now he's told them numerous times, guys, listen, I'm not this guy. They refuse to listen to that. They keep on going, no, you're the guy. You're the guy. And he,
also, like,
and he
but throws... Charlize says to him, she's like, I was going to tell you about this after New Year's. Like, the two of them, Charlize and Ben's characters, are so strangely respectful of the holidays.
I didn't want to ruin your Christmas
by telling you my sociopath brother wants you to do a casino heist.
he throws his driver's license in the toilet.
Yes.
And then it's real weird. After he flushes the toilet, he pats the toilet twice.
Yes.
Like, good toilet. You did what I wanted you to do.
Oh my God. I saw the exact same thing. So stupid.
Well, by the way, he didn't have to do that.
What a long-term con on his part. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to flush my license in the toilet so I have no proof of identification for the rest of my life. I mean, well,
he's on parole.
I got to get laid. I got to flush.
I understood him at that point.
Hitting that toilet.
That point, like, you knew him.
I felt like I got him at that point. Because he both was working towards getting laid and not getting found out. And, you know, you wanted to tell the toilet, good job. Thanks, bro.
Hey, look, I always pat the
People
toilet just to make sure. Good job. You ate that good. You did a good job.
Should we discuss the when they go to scout the casino and they get him a disguise?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So they need to scout this casino, and they figure the best way to dress him up. By the way, this is the most obvious crew of robbers, right? Because even when they go get that pecan pie, it's like basically he is sitting amongst the most thuggiest of thugs. It's like Danny Trejo, Clarence Williams, Donald Logue, Gary Sinise, and they're all dressed like diehard villains. Yeah. And they don't look like, if you saw me, oh yeah, I saw a fucking bunch of robbers in here. Yeah. They all were sitting around this table with a guy with a bloody nose.
And a supermodel. Like,
and a supermodel wearing sunglasses.
They were at the robber's table.
We had to actually put three tables together to get them all at that robber's table.
How many? There's six of them. Put them at the robber's table. I feel like this is that era of movie making when it literally is like, okay, so we'll get a couple of good like character actors to play the bad guys, and then we just need one of the angry Steppenwolf guys. So either Malkovich or Sinise. Like, Sinise is basically doing a Malkovich impression for the entirety of this movie. He's not threatening at all. He's
not
just acting threatening.
Villain completely.
He's slimmer and slighter and shorter than every single person in the movie. He is not at all scary.
Well, what happened when he throws those darts at him? And he reveals, and he's hitting darts perfectly around Ben's head, like the kind of the way that they did it, like on the Tonight Show, like the tomahawk thing. And then he goes, hey, I wasn't meaning to miss you. And you go, ooh.
I've been trying to hit you.
Yeah, I've been trying to hit you.
So I'm just bad at this.
But yeah, he's not an intimidating...
No, because Ben Affleck cracks wise so many times when he should be threatened, like he's about to be smashed in the face, but he just is flipping and then...
Well, the other thing that I can't figure out is, like, they are murderers, but they've never committed a crime before, and he is just a truck driver.
Are they murderers? Well, I guess they do kill people
they
eventually
kill people
in the movie,
like,
but
without
saying,
remorse.
Well, but not before
but when we
this
meet them,
thing.
They have,
well, she says, I don't know, maybe she's lying, because here's the spoiler alert.
She's playing a bunch of reindeer games.
Yeah, is that Charlize Theron is not just double-crossing Ben Affleck, because she is not Gary Sinise's sister, she is Gary Sinise's girlfriend.
Right, which Ben Affleck finds out. But guess what? Another fucking twist.
Double cross. Nick The prisoner who is Ben Affleck's best friend in prison is not dead. He's alive. Charlize Theron is his girlfriend.
What?
And the whole thing has been a con on Ben Affleck.
Yes.
So they were.
And Gary Sinise. So and everybody.
They were counting
all
on. They were. There's a whole scene of dialogue at the end of the movie where this actor has to come out. He hasn't been seen in like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And has to explain the entirety of the movie to us. It was awful.
Well, but by the way, how about the fact that that now it makes me question, did she actually have the 50% discount? Did
she
actually did she really work in that store? We don't know.
She had the card.
I don't know. This con goes deep.
If anyone in the audience knows.
Because 50% sounds like an enormous discount to give employees.
Even
like
people who work in the corporate office don't get 50%.
When I worked at the Gap.
She's put in some years. She has got
tenure. By the way, because what she could do is just buy stuff and then sell it on her own and make some serious cash. I mean, that's a crazy discount.
Maybe she sold those other guys their clothes, their rubber clothes.
Or their Santa suits.
Do you think she got the Santa suits from that?
From the clothing store?
From that clothing store,
yeah. I don't know. I doubt it.
So they go to case the joint.
Oh, God.
And they decide to... And by the way, so the entire time of the movie, Ben
I hope I didn't spoil the end too early in the podcast.
I don't think you did. It's too hard to follow that anybody...
Well, now we can kind of really uncover it from all angles.
Okay,
because
let's unpack this.
Because basically, Ben is telling Gary Sinise the entire time, I'm not this guy. I'm not this guy. Now, by the plan of this movie, Gary Sinise knows that he's not this guy, right?
No. Yes.
No.
Oh, I thought Gary Sinise is also being conned.
Yeah.
So but Gary Sinise does not know that he's not, that Gary Sinise has no way of knowing that a guy named Rudy was reading those letters.
Yeah.
Gary Sinise just knows
he's
that
Nick. Gary Sinise needs to believe he's Nick.
Exactly. Even though everything is going against him
and
at every point.
Even when, at the point in the movie where he realizes this isn't Nick, he still says, where's the powwow safe, which is something that he invented.
Yes.
Right?
Well, no. Well, no, I think you find out later
it was mentioned in the letters.
Mentioned in the letters.
But there's a part where Gary Sinise is trying to run Ben Affleck over with the car in the snow, and then she reaches over to pull the wheel. But why would they do any of that if... It doesn't make sense when you go back over it.
I think she's trying to sell
the scam. She knew. I believe that if Nick had not killed Gary Sinise, then... I'm sorry, if Rudy had not killed Gary Sinise...
But Rudy didn't kill Gary Sinise. Charlize kills Gary Sinise.
Yeah. Charlize kills Gary Sinise when it all comes next to the truck at the end.
Yeah, she shoots Gary Sinise in the head.
Man.
Right. I'm sorry, right. So, but he had no way of knowing, though. You guys.
Wait, hey guys, let her figure this out. I'm really caught up
in a reindeer game right now. I'm really lost.
All right, unravel it.
Even the screenwriters didn't bother to figure this out.
So your question is, did Gary Sinise know that Rudy was not Nick?
No. That's what you guys are saying.
I'm saying no to that.
You're saying...
I'm saying that Gary believed that Nick was Nick. He believed...
Yes.
That's what we're all saying.
Yeah. Okay, so we're all saying that. All right.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, but now...
That was amazing.
Sorry, you guys. I got really lost.
Still better than the movie.
Hearing you describe... All right, so
I'm still trying to figure out the parental logic of Sleepaway Camp.
It has been broken down online. You can check out our message boards.
The movie.
Okay. The movie.
All right, so let's get it. So they go to case this casino. They decide to dress Ben up in a comical cowboy outfit.
Right.
Like almost like a Foghorn Leghorn had formal wear.
Yeah.
This would be what he would be wearing.
Sorry. I just killed your whole podcast.
No, don't worry.
Now, when Norm MacDonald plays Burt Reynolds.
Yes, oh, that's exactly great. What he looks like.
That's perfect.
Big old cowboy hat, like crazy bolo mustache, tie. Bolo tie.
By the way, this casino is so low rent.
Oh, God, it's terrible.
And what is Dennis Farina doing? I mean, poor Dennis Farina.
Yeah, he
runs the casino, and he keeps having the line like, I shouldn't have left Vegas, you know, because he's working in this podunk.
He's having a meeting with these two Native American men. It's a Tomahawk casino. And he goes, hey, you guys need to do some sort of rain dance and get it to stop snowing so I can do some business. And then the guys leave angered. And he's like, hey, guys, come back. We got prime rib at the thing. Like, it was like, wait, what? You just insulted these people, their religion, everything. And you're like, come on, guys.
I shouldn't have left Vegas. And I felt like every time he was saying that, he was like, I shouldn't be in this movie.
I feel like everyone did this movie. I mean, Charlize Theron publicly came out and said, this is a very, very bad movie. This is the worst of my movies. I only did it because John Frankenheimer did it, and I was kidding myself to do it. So I feel like everyone probably got off on that. Like, they're like, oh, well, John Frankenheimer's directing it.
I agree with that. Like, if you told me John Frankenheimer was directing a movie in that era, I would have been like, awesome, I'm into that.
Right.
The only person who was not able to cut it was Vin Diesel, who was originally cast in an unspecified role.
What?
But he made so many demands regarding his character that the director, John Frankenheimer, fired him before production started.
That's interesting. Wow.
I bet you it was the Donald Logue character. That's my gut.
Yeah, or maybe like a combination of those guys. They were all Vin Diesel. They couldn't get Vin Diesel, so they broke the role up.
Yeah.
I don't want to get lost in a twist again, but so... God, fuck, it's happening again. But if Nick... So if
original Nick, or?
Original OG Nick,
okay,
knew that Rudy, he must have been prepping Rudy in prison this whole time,
yes,
and reading
right.
those letters and all that stuff.
Right.
Why wouldn't he tell him more information about that casino?
Like what?
Like that it had like just more info. It seemed like Rudy Nick, when put on, the only thing he really knew was the powwow safe. He didn't know anything else about the casino.
Good point.
That's a good point. It is an unanswered
to
point.
To what end?
Well, to me, the whole movie.
All he needs is for them to rob the casino.
Yeah, but he's prepping Rudy to know how to do that.
But he's not, because basically at the end when Ben says to Gary Sinise, he's like, wait a second, if I died at any point, could you still have done this? And Gary Sinise is like, yeah, we could have.
So no, he doesn't say it to Gary Sinise. He says it to Living Nick.
Oh, yeah, right.
He says to Living Nick, he's like, this is so crazy. There's so many moving parts to this. It could have fallen apart in any way. And he was like, yeah, it could have fallen apart. Oh, he's like, how did you know I would go with her? What if I had just gotten on the bus and left? And he's like, if you had, she would have just convinced Gary Sinise to do it without you.
Right.
Like, they would have done it anyway.
So he didn't even really need the whole protagonist of the movie
to
be in it.
Nope.
No.
By the way, ancillary.
And by the way, I would also argue this is one of the first movies where none of the characters are likable. Like, Ben Affleck, I mean, he's not a likable guy, because he goes from being, like, a very put-upon, like, he's like, yeah, I robbed cars, I got the bum deal. And then he's, like, a dick, and he assumes the life of somebody else. He's feeding
he's
toilets.
He's raw-dogging Charlize Theron while she thinks he's some other guy.
They're all evil people. None of them
but
is redeeming.
Like, really, Jason.
What?
She doesn't really think he's an
other guy. Oh, right.
She knows.
He's a bad person because he thinks
absolutely.
She's,
I'm just saying.
But let's talk about
real
when
OG
go-
Nick really is very comfortable farming his girlfriend out to get plowed by everybody.
Two different men.
That's what he's really into.
All maybe that's
just to see that.
Just to set up his girlfriend.
The biggest reindeer game of them all. Yeah.
All right, so they send him in Burt Reynolds style to this casino. And now, meanwhile, you think, okay, well, this is a chance for Ben to case the casino. No. All the thug guys also come in fully thugged out. They're not in any sort of costumes. Again, they look like robbers and thugs.
Right.
They're wearing their one outfits that they have. And then what do they see? Well, he sees this guy across the casino. Kind of looks like him. He's got a weird mustache and a goatee, too. Oh, who is it? Ashton Kutcher. What? Ashton Kutcher. And does Ashton Kutcher have any lines in this movie?
He's got two.
Two
lines in the bathroom.
Yeah, which in the director's cut are edited out.
Really?
What? Yes.
In the director's
cut? The director's cut, they edit out. I only can imagine that Ashton Kutcher owed something to the Weinstein Company, and they're like, you have to be in this movie. And he was like, okay, I'll do it.
Is he a star in 2000?
Yeah, that is 70s he? Show has been on.
Oh, yeah.
He's a TV star.
Because I was like, maybe he wasn't big
not
now.
Long, that's, though, not a, yeah. That's not a part that you take.
I don't think, how huge could he have been by then? Not that big, I don't think.
Yeah. I'm going to look right
I'm
now.
I'm guessing he wasn't that big. I just assumed this was like one of his early roles.
Me too.
You know?
Really? Yeah. I thought it was like sort
Pee Wee
of like
Herman in the Blues Brothers.
Oh, all right. Because I thought it was much more. That was a good pull. I thought it was much more like, look at this. Look at who this character
no,
is.
I don't think he was doing movies then.
Okay, we'll see. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm looking at IMDb. Okay, in 2000, he had already done Dude, Where's My Car?
No!
Yep. And he was on Just Shoot Me. So and then, yeah. So, he was an actor.
He was the star of Dude, Where's My Car?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So this makes no sense.
Wait.
Then.
Yeah. Did that come out in 2000 or shot in 2000?
It came out in 2000. So I guess, you know, so he was the lead in a movie. So at that point, he also said, oh, I'll take this one-line part. I mean, he was, you know, he was
this
a star.
Came out in Feb. That probably came out in the summer.
All right, yeah.
And maybe this had been shot years earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe this okay. sat around. Who knows?
All right, so you guys are predicting.
Yes.
All right, so you guys are predicting that this is something that he didn't. All right. So I'll
we can just ask Kutch. You
we'll
know?
Get Kutch on the phone.
We can dial up the Kutch phone.
Because, by the way, that 70s show started in 1998. So he had been on that 70s show for a couple of years.
Okay, then he should not be in a role that has less than five lines.
But it's a Frankenheimer. That's probably how they got him.
Yeah, it's like, you want to come
sure
in and
is.
Do a Frank?
Yeah.
So basically, Ben just goes, take this coat. Here's $100. And he's like, all right. And then he puts it on, and then he just runs around, and he goes, he gave me $100. That's basically all of the Kutch's lines. And teenage girls went crazy. Like, in my mind, I feel like the Weinsteins were like, this kid's hot. Girls love him. Let's put him in this Frankenheimer movie. This movie will make a lot of money. Like,
here's my bigger question. The scene after this, when Charlize and Ben run away into like a bank of snow and they try to escape crazy Gary Sinise, they fall. Charlize Theron falls into
the frozen pot.
Frozen lake.
One of the best shots in the movie. When
okay.
she falls
and
into
then
that.
He yeah. amazing. And then Ben Affleck jumps in after her. Now, they swim away from the hole that they fell into. And
well,
then
that happens to people when they fall through the ice, is that they cannot find the hole they fell through. That is true.
The current might drag them or they can't see.
Is there a big...
Okay, because... All right. No, I'm glad to hear this because it looked so bright. And it looked from where we were standing with them, the shot we were on with them, that you could see that other hole so clearly.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. That is a real... I remember
this
from as a kid growing up.
You can't see the hole.
As a kid growing up, like, playing hockey on frozen pond, like ponds and lakes.
But also, when you were growing up, like, clowns would chase you onto that ice.
Oh, my God, guys.
You into the...
Guys, the clowns. Let's not fucking forget the clowns. I got to ask someone.
Actually, you have been validated on one of the mini episodes of a lot of people came to your defense.
Oh, really? Oh, good. Oh, thank God. All right. Thank you, people. But I remember, there was the whole threat was that you would fall through the ice and that you would not be, because of how, when you get so disoriented that it's very easy to get back up and get, you're stuck there and you don't know where the hole is that you came
That's
out
terrifying.
Of. So kids would die underwater, not because they couldn't find that little hole they came through.
Oh, wow. All right.
I'm so glad to know this.
So this part of the movie is 100% factual, ready to go.
Yep.
Luckily, they did not lose their machine gun, and they're able to shoot through that ice.
Yeah, is that factual?
Would That's
that
what I was
underwater?
Wondering. Would a shotgun fire underwater? I don't know.
It was a full-on machine gun. It wasn't even like a pump action. It was like, prap, prap. They were able to get through there.
One of the most heartbreaking moments is right after, though, when... This little man, this little local yokel.
He's fishing on the ice.
He's ice fishing. Comes
kind of
out
like a grumpy
says,
old man.
Oh,
like
he was so sweet. And that actor, I thought he was one of the best actors in the movie. He says so sincerely, is everything okay, you guys? And then realizes that he's dealing with like
bad guys.
Murderous. Yeah, sociopaths.
Because they're all carrying guns.
Yeah.
Sure. He starts to run away. And do you think he died in that house?
Okay.
Oh, no.
Wait,
he definitely died because it's on the newscast. It's the newscast.
Oh, yeah,
because later they go into a room and the newscast in the background is saying the strange death of a local man on the river. This is still unsolved, but the police suspect foul play.
Oh, do they suspect foul play? Is that because his little ice house was shot up by a machine gun? And by the way, suspect foul play. This guy must have been in some serious shit.
Yeah.
But these guys who are not robbers, because they've never robbed anything before, they're just truck drivers of the dream to rob.
Who live out of the dream. Who live out of their truck.
They live out of a truck that is like the Knight Rider truck.
Yes!
Like, yeah. It's like full decked out, like Motor City truck. Oh my gosh.
This movie sucked. I got so angry.
So the scene where Gary Sinise is throwing darts at Ben Affleck, are they in like the rec room of that hotel?
Aren't they in the truck?
All I know is
no, they're not in the truck.
They're in the truck.
No. That's
no, Jason. They're not in the truck because there's
a pinball machine.
Pinball machine. Yeah.
In the truck.
It's
like a shitty motel with like cinder block walls.
Yes.
Yeah. But then they have
all the rooms have cinder block walls.
Yeah.
By the way, you guys will be happy to know that.
I'm pretty sure that took place in the truck.
By the way, wherever it took place, there was a big fog machine. Everywhere in that hotel was foggy. Yeah. It was like everything was defrosting. By the way, you'll be happy to know that Ron Perkins, the actor who was killed in the ice house, is alive and kicking. He was just on The Mentalist and he was on Veep, and he had a very big part on House MD. So you can check out.
What part?
He is Dr. Ron Simpson.
Oh, all right.
But he's in a few of John Frankenheimer's movies. But yeah, everything in that hotel looked like that. Like everything was steamy at all times. But my favorite line in the hotel was Ben escapes from the hotel.
Oh my God!
In a futile escape plan, because he doesn't really get anywhere when he escapes. And he comes back and he's trying to break back into his hotel room. And he's like, I can hotwire cars. I can hotwire hotel. That's what he says. I can hotwire cars.
And all he's doing, he has somehow found a knife. How did he get a hold of that knife? I don't know. All he's doing to hotwire the door handle is touching the knife to the door, like to the electronic component of the door handle. Just like tap, 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 green light, I'm in. There was no wires. There was nothing. It was just touching a metal knife.
That's how it worked.
Metal to metal, Jason.
When he does escape that hotel for that futile escape plan, which I don't even understand why he escaped.
Then he tries to get back in. Yeah, it's like you were loose. Like keep running.
Just keep on running. And by the way,
so weird,
everybody, like those four robbers are everywhere in that hotel. And every which way that he goes, there's another one of the bad guys. Like, hey, I'm down by the vending machine. Hey, I'm out reading my magazine. Hey, I'm over here in the pool. Like they are all over the place.
Yeah, one guy finds leftovers outside someone's room.
Hey, it's food.
These are disgusting robbers. That's a disgusting trait to look through people's used food and eat it.
That just shows you, though, how desperate these guys are.
But Ben got the one up on them because he was able to order a lot of pay-per-view. And these robbers did not want to pay for their pay-per-view.
Cleared out the minibar, too.
Yeah.
Another egregious tone shift where you're scared for this guy's life, and then all of a sudden he's just dicking around in like the toothless villains.
It was a $1,200 bill.
No, and like, that much?
It was a huge bill.
It was a huge, like, all printed out an old computer printer. Like, charge us all this money on pay-per-view?
Yeah, you do like one punch. That's for the pay-per-view. Another punch. That's for the minibar. It was so, like, Abbott and Costello.
Oh, my God. And then, so now we get to the big heist. Things are happening. It's exciting. They're finally going to rob this place. And, man alive, to get you to this final scene, everything goes haywire. They all dress as, by the way, the big reveal is that they're going to rob the casino dressed as Santas.
It's Christmas Eve.
Because it's Christmas Eve. And then they, like, reveal the suits, like, we got a plan, man. And they open up a closet full of, like, neatly hung Santa suits.
In the truck.
Right, and if you double back, the whole reason.
That hotel.
The reason he dressed.
In the truck. What? He's going, no, guys.
We'll find out. The reason they dressed him as a cowboy earlier is because they said, if you go in there regular now, they'll recognize you when the heist goes down.
Yes.
And then they
They were going to recognize him from when he used to work there.
As Nick.
They were like, if you walk in now, they're going to recognize you as Nick. So he goes, that's why I need a disguise. And then they were like, it's either cowboy or ballerina.
Okay, by the way, why would it be such a big deal if Nick came in and just the old place he worked there, he wasn't fired for stealing. He could have just said, hey, I'm here to visit. What's up?
I'm the guy with the problem stealing cars.
And it doesn't matter anyway. He goes in as the cowboy. Dennis Farina, who runs the museum, the casino, says, hey, how'd you hear about us? How'd you hear about the casino? And he's just like, whatever, whatever. And then the bad guys are like, you were talking to the guy. Did you tip him off? Like, a huge part of the movie was contingent on them thinking that he had said something to Dennis Farina. Which wasn't true at all.
The whole movie is based on lies that no one has enough information. Like,
and are low stakes.
Very low stakes lies.
Very low stakes considering they didn't need Ben Affleck at all.
Yes. And by the way,
plan is walk in and shoot the place up, guess who you don't need for that? Ben Affleck.
By the way, can I just bring out the larger flaw of this plan? The casino is not making any money. It is losing money. It is a not profitable casino. Like, we're going to rob it on Christmas Eve.
A dead night.
So they're
basically... Usually heist movies are like, on this particular night, there happens to be three times as much money in the vaults because of Betty and blah, blah. Like Ocean's 11 or whatever.
This fight night that is something.
This literally would be the night when there is the least amount of money in the least successful casino.
The shittiest casino on the shittiest night of the year.
We are standing to make hundreds of dollars tonight.
But yet, when they get in the back room, tons of money.
I guess casinos just keep it there just in case they have a rush.
Just wrapped up in perfectly stacked bills.
Yeah,
also love that when they arrive at the casino, they cut to Dennis Farina, who's just watching the security cams.
Yeah.
Just watching.
And he's going, that Santa's kicking your security guy's asses.
Yes, Dennis Farina does not freak out when they're full on fight where they flip tables over. It happens in the main floor of his casino.
He's like, I freaked out on my last movie. I don't need to do it again.
Hey, guys, just put in Midnight Run. You'll see what I can do. Anyway. But then they somehow, Ben needs a weapon. They give him a weapon that has liquor in it, which is
a squirt gun. They give him a squirt gun, and then they pass around a bottle of rum later, which he puts in the squirt gun.
Yeah, so he's like, that's a comic relief moment. Throughout the whole time, he can give himself a little squirt of rum.
But it'll come in handy.
Yeah.
Comes in really handy because when Ben is tied up against the wall, when he is stuck in this one moment, he's going to get killed. The guy's like, I'm going to kill you, but first... let me light a smoke. Now, I didn't see this twist coming. I didn't think the squirt gun.
You didn't?
I did not think the squirt. I mean, in the moment I did, but I didn't see it leading up. The guy's like, before I'm going to kill you, let me take out my cigarette and my Zippo lighter. And he goes to light a cigarette. But Ben, very quick on the draw, shoots some quick rum at him and lights this guy on fire in the most Hollywood I'm on fire, like, special effects are amazing. Like, it's like, this guy goes up in flames, like a fire starter.
Three squirts from his squirt gun it engulfs the man in insane flames.
By the way, when you say squirt, we should be clear, it's like such a tiny, small stream. There's no...
Exactly. We should work that out, like, see what would really happen if someone was smoking.
We should Mythbuster this?
Yeah, Mythbuster it.
You think we should Mythbuster this? All right, Art. I think, like that.
Get my beret.
Somebody, I've got the beard. You get the beret. Let's go.
I bet you someone online, if one of our fans wants to make a YouTube video, then I don't think you'll light yourself on fire.
I don't think
you'll just put out the cigarette. You'll just put out the cigarette with the rum.
Also, I will say that in this heist, there are more point-blank misses of any movie ever. Because there's only like six characters, so they can't kill each other that much. So they have to just miss each other nonstop for the entire ending to make it a little bit. And this even goes to show you that it's not even a fun movie because you don't even remember how any of these guys die. Like, I don't remember how Trejo dies. I don't remember how
Donald...
Everybody gets shot.
Well, the problem is that everybody dies in Santa suits, so you can't tell who's being killed.
Yes, that
is
a problem.
So at the end of the movie, everybody's indistinguishable from each other, except for Ben Affleck. And so you have a lot of trouble figuring out who's who.
Yeah.
Like the guys in, when they open up the vault room, one of the Santas gets shot with a shotgun and flies backwards and dies. I'm not sure who that was. Maybe Danny Trejo. Or Donald Logue, not sure.
You don't know.
And that's what it's like. You're not tied to any of these deaths because I don't fucking get it. Like, who was that? Why did that just happen?
So if you, any movies where the achievement is that you can't tell the difference between Danny Trejo and Donald Logue,
yeah,
that's pretty good accomplishment.
Well, but that's a big part of, well, I thought it was going to be a huge part of the ending when Ben Affleck said, when they say to Ben Affleck that five Santas came into the casino.
Oh, yeah.
So five Santas need to be dead.
Yeah. Right.
But there weren't five Santas dead there.
No, well, what you think, what I thought was going to happen was that Ben Affleck was that Ben Affleck was going to, once OG Nick got killed,
he's going to put the Santa suit on.
Ben Affleck should have put his Santa suit on OG Nick and killed him, because then Ben Affleck can walk away unscathed, right?
Wait, but by the way, they keep on saying that they blow up, but at the end of the movie, they blow up everybody anyway. They're all on fire. They don't need to put the Santa suits on anyone. They're all burnt to a crisp.
Listen, I don't disagree.
There's like,
wait,
there's,
and then am I to believe that at the end of this movie, he gives all of the money away in people's mailboxes and then goes to his own family's dinner?
Oh,
he
walks home in the Santa suit? Him, when they, like, the movie could have been over so way before that.
Oh, yeah.
But they took the time to show you him going to his holiday to watch the ball game with his dad.
That was it. Like, his whole
but
dream.
But he's still bloodied and in the Santa suit.
He's in a bloody Santa suit, and he's at home at the head of his kitchen table with this convict.
The big smile on his face. And
he's
his
like,
dirty Santa
well,
suit.
And
what his last line is, I know what the holidays mean now. Like, he knows.
Learned
well,
a lesson.
Well, if you pointed out, some mailboxes got two two chunks of change.
Like, he would take all the money, and he would, like, sometimes he would put, like, one stack of bills, and sometimes it's two.
So people should know, he walks away with the stolen money.
Yes.
The loot, yeah.
Right? And now, in my mind, I'm like, hey, return that money to the casino, because that tribe was struggling. You know, return
not only
that money.
But a lot of casino workers were killed.
But instead, he Robin Hoods it, and he puts it in just people's mailboxes. He walks down the street.
They finally make him likable in the last scene.
But that wasn't likable. What he should have done, he should have started a fund for all of the families of the casino workers who were killed in that shootout.
He should have started a charity.
And taken care of them.
I think he should have just either left the money there for the and called the police to the scene of the...
But then it's evidence, Jason. They can't do anything with it.
Won't evidence get returned to the casino?
Guys,
done with the money. He should have made those design changes that he was trying to convince them took place on the casino.
He should take over the casino.
Did anyone catch the real twist ending of the movie?
Uh-oh.
So he gets home to his parents' house. And the entire thing was orchestrated by his dad to get him home for Christmas. So his dad set up his prison roommate to fake his death.
Oh my God.
It was a long-term family con to get him home for Christmas. Yeah. That's all it was. It's a movie about family.
It makes
well
sense.
Well played,
it really
Rudolph's
makes sense.
Dad.
I still
Rudolph's
can't
dad,
believe.
Whose name is Santa. And
oh my God.
No, the whole idea, the reason why he was called Nick was because... That was the whole theme of the movie. Do you believe it's Nick? Do you believe in Saint Nick?
Yeah.
Hey, can we talk about he dispatches Charlize Theron. She's on the hood of the car and she goes over the cliff.
Yes.
And then now it's time to get rid of the real villain, her brother. And it's just the same exact thing. Doesn't he just send them over the cliff? Like, same two deaths right in a row.
Ah, fuck it. We don't care. We just do it again. Let's do it exactly.
The difference is the first thing, she went over the cliff on the hood of a car.
Yeah.
And then the next thing, it's an 18-wheeler that goes over the cliff.
Oh, it's a bigger
car. It is basically completely different.
Okay.
So, shame on you.
I did love that.
You need a different license to push those up.
I did like his one line.
You have to be able to double clutch.
Wait, what did he go? I'm going to mess up the line, but I did like it. He's like, one first rule, never trust a...
Never put a car thief behind the wheel.
Yeah, that was it. And I was able to just reverse into the brother, or to reverse
into OG Nick.
OG Nick, get him, and drive her off the cliff. Oh, it was an anticlimactic ending. Just seeing Cliff fall off a thing exploding. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
Is there any? Well, obviously we had an opinion about this movie, but it's time to hear some second opinions. These are reviews culled from Amazon.com, 5-star reviews. This is
five-star?
Five-star reviews. So here, you can agree or disagree with
these,
this.
Critics or just pedestrians?
These are pedestrians. These are what America is thinking. Josh Miller says, Reindeer Games works on so many levels as an action film, it's damn near flawless. In fact, I think it is flawless, except for the lame brain twist that was going to throw in at the end. But that didn't ruin it, so I stick to my five stars. I'm going to have to start trusting Elmore Leonard a lot more because his mini review on the cover sums up everything well. Reindeer Games rocks.
Whoa.
Really?
Jesus.
He's more accurate than Stephen King has been about certain movies. So that's a guy who's trusting author mini reviews on a DVD box cover.
That's what makes you start liking Elmore Leonard.
Well, this one is a good one, too. Amando Mesa writes, even viewers who are not familiar with the previous works of Affleck, Theron, or Sinise will surely change any misconceptions about their underrated acting abilities. Because I can't figure out how Theron and Affleck turn on the waterworks. Is it method acting or real emotions? It's incredibly believable.
Do they even cry in that?
I don't remember them crying.
I don't remember them crying at all.
Gary Sinise can play either good or bad flawlessly. If he's a good character, he's intense. If he's a bad one, he's super intense.
He turns it up.
The only drawback. This is it. The only drawback. This is a five-star review. Is that this is the kind of movie where the twists in the story will be fresh in your mind for the next 3 days. And then afterwards, you're going to want to analyze the whole thing and remember it afterwards. So that is the drawback. Thinking is the drawback on this movie.
Right.
And this one, I pulled these two. This one I wouldn't normally read, but it's a five-star review, and I think it's funny. Kilmari writes, Sinise is terrific as the deranged wannabe thief once he get past his hideous reptilian looks. How many camera lenses did they go through?
Wait, what? Is the presumption there that his looks are so bad that he would break camera lenses?
Yeah.
Many.
But he is terrific. It is a five-star review.
His reptilian
looks.
He does look a little like a character like from V.
And then somebody else compares Affleck to Affleck is emerging as a star who possesses a commanding screen presence only afforded by older, more distinguished actors such as Sean Connery and Ed Harris. Theron proves to be the theatrical equal of Marlena Dietrich. So those are some five-star reviews. Is there anything that we missed? Anything that that anyone had written down that we didn't talk about?
Nobody else may buy into this one, but I thought that Nick, the OG Nick.
Yes.
He reminded me of Todd Barry.
Kind of a little bit of Todd Barry in him. I'll take that.
He didn't like. I had actually prefer to see that character played by Todd Barry.
Yeah, Todd would have been good at it because he's a mastermind.
Yeah, I would have liked to see because I think Todd's energy, his look is similar, but Todd's energy would have nailed that part. Yeah. He would have brought that wrestler magic to
that guy. I looked that because I was like, who is that guy?
Yeah,
and he's been in like every TV show.
Yeah.
He's been in everything, but he has never had like a big thing.
Well, this could have been it. Anybody else? Anything before we wrap it up?
If the little drummer boy is constantly getting sung by.
The
Christmas
Affleck.
Music made me sick.
Yeah.
In this movie,
they ruined the Christmas music, and then there's like sort of upbeat Christmas chamber music at the end. Which didn't match any part of the movie at all.
It was like a Die Hard thing. It was like, oh yeah, Die Hard. It's
I
think it was just like mashing together. They also fired their composer in the middle of this movie, so like half of the music is done by Akiva, or like I'll find out. It's two different composers, James Goldsmith.
They had that February 25th deadline. They had to get it out.
Guys, we got to get this Christmas movie out by February 25th.
I thought the pool scene with Charlize and Gary Sinise was very gross.
It was disgusting.
Where they are revealed to be lovers. She takes her top off. Great tits on Charlize Theron, I'll say that.
By the way, she's making it quite a few times
then
in this movie.
That makeout they share is disgusto. I thought that was gross.
Every makeout in this, everything is gross in this movie. I mean, makeout wise, I was very grossed out by it.
I was so intrigued by that hotel too, because it looked like a Motel 6, but then it had this like weird indoor pool area.
Yeah, it's like, why do they have that pool? That's large. Too nice.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That pool is. By the way, also when Ben finds out that Shirley's and Gary Sinise are fake dating, like the way he finds out about it is he hears like Shirley's yelling like, "Hey, get your hands off me! Get your fucking hands off me!" Mm-hmm. And then he goes in and then he finds out, oh, they're going out. But she's like drinking out of a wine glass, and it looked like they were having a romantic interlude. Yeah. So it didn't look like it was they were in the middle of a fight. Like it seemed like they were just like they were drinking wine. They were clearly over it.
Right, relaxing.
Yeah, they were.
But there was some argument. I don't even remember who it took place, but there was a point where he goes, "You said he was stabbed. He took a shiv."
Oh,
no.
That's
oh, yeah. I said he died.
That's
no.
How it all becomes revealed.
That's
who is it? It's Sinise.
That's what she says that to Affleck.
Right.
And then he's like, Affleck's like, "Wait, how do you know he took a shiv? I never told you that."
Right. And then they just keep repeating that.
They keep repeating it back and forth because that's letting Gary Sinise know that he's being double crossed. And he gets super confused. And that's when she shoots him in the head.
Right.
And she goes, "Oh, man."
Okay.
And then she becomes the true cold hearted bitch that we all knew she was.
Yeah. Women don't trust women, even though she hates men.
She's from South Africa.
man, oh man.
Anything. In the beginning, when he's talking to his cellmate in the cell, his cellmate's like reading the letters from Charlize Theron, and Ben Affleck is exercising.
Yeah, doing push-ups.
He's doing push-ups at his wife, Peter, and then he turns over and he starts doing like sit-ups, but he's just in full conversation as he's doing these weird, it just seems like, where does he even get the breath to have that conversation?
By the way, I kept on thinking like, he must have made that, regretted that choice immediately, like as he's like, oh, yeah. Take 17. Yep. Fuck, like, ugh, like, because he has to really do it in those scenes. By the way, that's also like a great part of the movie where there should be some like witty repartee between these two like prison inmates. Nope.
Nothing.
None.
Nothing.
Very, very stale.
Even though Ben Affleck has told us in voiceover, and that's my best friend, Nick.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's ludicrous.
And like, there's a moment even in the beginning where he's like, "Hey, maybe I should fuck this girl that you want to go fuck."
Yeah,
and
that was weird.
And he was like, and then the guy...
Also, really big coincidence that they're being let out on the same day.
Yeah, two cellmates.
Oh, because originally I remember thinking like, oh, they must be in for the same crime. They must have been partners. And they weren't. They were just cellmates.
No, one guy, guy killed, original OG was stabbed somebody.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck just stole some cars. No big deal, but that's the way life treats
them. Maybe the warden was like, "We'll put you two guys together because you get out on the same day so there won't be any conflicts in your cells."
Well, you know, yeah, right. It's all
nobody
about rooms.
Nobody would be jealous. There won't be any hidden resentment.
Well, because, you know, it's so tough to get new roommates in there, too.
Oh. Hey, did you see Ron Jeremy's in the credits as prisoner number one? I didn't see him in the.
See him in there either.
I didn't see him.
Oh, no, his name is Ron Hyatt, prisoner number one, is what it says. Yeah. Oh, but it is him, yeah. Ron Hyatt is Ron Jeremy. That's his AKA.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Did not know that.
That's
wow.
Hey, I don't know if you guys, you know the movie Bandits came out around the same time with. Bruce Willis.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no.
That's the one where he's like having cancer, him and the guy from
Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
So I'm not that familiar with this movie, but this kept reminding me of it because it's like just that same era and kind of these sprawling crime trips.
Directed by Barry Levinson, too, like an older director trying to get in on this new, like.
Yeah. But I think that one's terrible, too. But I'm not sure if it's as bad as
this. All right, we'll have you back for that, then.
Stay tuned for Bandits. 2001's Bandits. Opening weekend, $13 million. $80 million budget. This movie was $40 million, and it made $30 million worldwide.
Oh,
and all said and done.
Wow.
And all said and done.
Did Frankenheimer just pass away, or they just said no more for you?
That was it. He went to movie jail permanently. that was his last film. Would I recommend that you watch this? I wouldn't think it's a necessity to see it. Mm. I think you could pass on it. I think if you want to watch that ice fall scene, it's pretty good. And maybe the end is pretty good, too.
You can watch. This is a watch while fast forwarding.
Yes. All right, so that wraps up Reindeer Games. Merry Christmas to all those who celebrate it, and happy holidays to all those who don't. See you in the new year.